Let the tax hikes begin with the state of Illinois.
Marketplace Morning Report is produced in association with the University of Southern California.
Good morning. From American Public Media in New York, I'm Jeremy Hobson. While you were sleeping, state legislators in the land of Lincoln were passing a 66% income tax increase. Democrats in the state wanted to get it done before Republicans take control there. Illinois faces a $15 billion hole in its state budget. Corporate taxes will also go up as part of the package. Let's go now to the Illinois state capitol in Springfield, where Amanda Vinicky is standing by. She's State House Bureau Chief for WUIS Illinois Public Media. Well, Amanda, bring us up to date on what happened in the wee hours of the morning and what it means for the people of Illinois.
Well, the tax increase package that passed basically means that if you're making $40,000 a year, you're going to owe the state another $800. Democrats say they had no choice. There was no way to cut out of such a dismal budget situation. The state's racked up approximately $15 billion deficit. Even the governor's budget director warns that the state's in jeopardy of getting its bond rating downgraded to junk status. You can hear the emotion in Democratic Representative David Miller's voice when he talked about the politics behind taking such a tough vote.
Everybody wants to go to heaven, but nobody wants to die. It is time for us to live up to our responsibility to make sure people in the state of Illinois are taken care of.
Wow, very emotional stuff there in Illinois. Amanda, stand by. Let's bring in our Washington Bureau Chief, John Dimsdale. John, this is far from an Illinois-specific problem. States all across the country are facing big budget shortfalls and trying to figure out their way out of them.
That's right. One think tank estimates that states together face a $140 billion budget shortfall this year.
Wow.
California, for example, is looking at $25 billion in red ink. Texas and New Jersey both have to find $10 billion to balance their budgets. New Jersey Governor Chris Christie has shown that he's willing to take on the state employee unions there and cut salaries and pension benefits.
And John, is there anything Washington can or will do to help states?
Well, that 2009 stimulus package, which had a lot of help for states, is running out. And given how bad federal finances are, Congress says, you know, there's just no more. For one thing, federal help benefits states that have been big spenders and punishes those states that have taken the fiscally responsible route.
Yep.
So states and even cities facing bankruptcy are on their own. That response from here is going to be similar to when New York City went to President Gerald Ford in 1975 with their hat in hand. And the Daily News headline was, Ford to City, drop dead.
Yeah, a lot of people remember that. Let's get back to Amanda Vinicky quickly in Springfield, Illinois. Amanda, what happens next there?
Well, first of all, the governor, Pat Quinn, has to sign the package into law, which he is expected to do. But then Republicans say they're going to immediately begin working to repeal the hike. Hmm. Even the people who support it say Illinois isn't out of the woods. Business community is very riled up. The tax package increases the corporate tax rate on them, leading one Republican senator to offer this investment tip: put money into moving vans.
Indeed. Amanda Vinicky, State House Bureau Chief for Illinois Public Radio, and Marketplace's Washington Bureau Chief John Dimsdale. Thank you both.
Thank you.
Thank you.
And let's do the numbers. Stocks are up right now about 1.5% in both Paris and Frankfurt. The Mortgage Bankers Association said this morning that applications for home mortgages inched up last week. The average rate right now for a 30-year fixed mortgage is about 4.8%. On Wall Street yesterday, the Dow jumped 34 points to close at 11,671.
Marketplace Morning Report is supported by Constant Contact Email Marketing, providing small businesses and nonprofits with personal coaches to help them succeed. ConstantContact.com. By Progressive Insurance, helping people shop for car insurance at 1-800-PROGRESSIVE and Progressive.com. And by Microsoft, providing comprehensive business solutions for the cloud. You can learn more at Microsoft.com/cloud.
Well, it's not that surprising that electronic book sales are up. Amazon reported record sales of its Kindle e-reader over the holidays. But here's what is surprising. Hardcover book sales are also up. The BBC's Rebecca Singer reports.
Thank you very much.
Thanks very much.
Joseph's bookstore in Northwest London is a bright, welcoming place.
This is the non-fiction side of the shop. You've got a lot of biography here, business books, general culture.
Owner Michael Joseph has run it as an independent store for more than 20 years. He's had to compete with the rise of online retailers, but his sales of hardbacks have remained steady.
Hardback is a permanent object, and you have an attachment relationship with it that you don't have with a paperback. It's a different experience.
There was a time when the higher price of hardbacks might have put some customers off, but the emergence of online retailers has increased competition, brought down the average cost of hardbacks, and boosted overall sales. Tom Fussell is the commercial director at publisher HarperCollins. He says hardback sales in the UK have increased by 45% over the past 5 years. And although he believes the appeal of hardbacks will endure, he sees them fulfilling a different role. For example, people may still buy hardback cookbooks, but they might not use them for cooking.
They might look at them on their coffee tables because they look nice, and they'll buy digital chapters or recipes to actually cook with so they don't get stains on their cookbooks.
So if hardback books are still holding their own after all these years, is there anything they could teach their digital rivals? Edmund King works at the British Library. He says decorative covers are the key, and e-readers haven't quite got that yet.
In many ways, we're looking at the first generation of e-book readers, which seems primitive in terms of its eye-catching appeal.
And as our lives become more digitised, hardback books may become increasingly precious, partly for their decorative value and partly because they last much longer than the batteries on our e-readers. In London, I'm the BBC's Rebecca Singer for Marketplace.
And finally, McDonald's has a new product. It's called Fruit and Maple Oatmeal. No problems there, at least not in 49 states. But in Vermont, they take their maple very seriously. And the state says McDonald's is not using real maple, and so it is in violation of the state's maple laws and will have to either change the name or the ingredients. Here's my solution. Call it McFruit and McMaple McOatmeal. Problem solved. In New York, I'm Jeremy Hobson. This is the Marketplace Morning Report.
American Public Media.
We're all used to tech-savvy upgrades for cars and phones and computers, so why, oh why, are we still lugging around plastic cards to pay for everything?
I'm sitting here uncomfortably in this interview with a big chunky wallet in my pocket.
I'm Kai Rizdahl. Wallets as a thing of the economic past. That and the numbers from Wall Street, the day's business news as well. Next time on Marketplace from American Public Media.
The world can be a confusing place for kids, and finding the words to explain it all can be tricky, too. Introducing Million Bazillion, a Webby-winning podcast from Marketplace that takes your kids on exciting adventures to answer the awkward and complex questions they have about money. Each week, we tackle hard-hitting inquiries from kid listeners like,
what is a college account and how does it work?
I want to know what unions are and what they are for.
Why does the U.S. have so much gold in Fort Knox and what do they use it for?
Help your kids understand how money fits into the world around us. Listen to Million Bazillion wherever you get your podcasts.